Welcome, everybody, to another Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined by Joe Masato in the Thunder Buddies studio. I am just now dubbed the Oklahoman Studios. I've claimed it for the Thunder Buddies.
I think we should rename it the Thunder Buddies Room. I mean, simple, sounds good.
I think we should put a sign up in here and just really piss off all our OU and OSU.
Thunder Buddies only. Out.
Keep out. keep the college cooties away from us.
Yeah.
We are in the Oklahoman studios after the Thunder's 110-97 loss to the Memphis Grizzlies. A lot of this game was deja vu until they didn't pull it out.
Yeah, I mean, the final score was not deja vu, 110-97, but, you know, this was a game that obviously 8 days ago the Grizzlies came to Oklahoma City and lost a 24-point lead. Today they had, you know, they led throughout the game. They had a 20-point lead in the fourth quarter. Chris Paul cut it to 9 with just over 2 minutes left. Crowd was kind of getting into it. You thought, oh, man, maybe they're about to do this again. But then they didn't score the rest of the way. Just they didn't shoot the ball well all game. The Thunder shot 41% from the floor, 29% from three, compared to 55% shooting from the Grizzlies and 40% three-point shooting. The defense wasn't great. The offense wasn't great. And that did not result in a comeback.
What? That sounds like a great recipe for a comeback.
I mean, usually, like, the numbers don't matter. They've just been coming back no matter what. I don't know. I guess the numbers backed this one up.
I mean, it was almost like they predicted this one, because after one of the many comebacks, one of the three comebacks that they had in that four-game winning streak, they had three 18-plus comebacks in that streak, and after one of those, both Billy Donovan and Chris Paul were saying, like, hey, it's cool and all that we won, but this is not sustainable. And sure enough, they got down by 20 tonight, and it's not sustainable. I mean, it's incredible that they were able to pull off those comebacks before, but it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of focus, and you, like, once you get down by that much, not only do you have very little leeway on your end, but you have to get some breaks here and there from the opposing team. And I asked Shea what the difference was, since the trajectories were so close, and, like, what that main difference was, and he essentially was like, well, we didn't turn on the defensive intensity soon enough, and ideally they just do that from the start of the game.
Yeah, and a lot of, like, just, again, the numbers are not in the Thunder's favor, and, like, I kind of wondered how it was as close as it was at some point. I mean, the final score isn't all that close, but, like I said, it was within double digits late in the game, but the rebounding...
They even cut it to single digits.
Yeah, they cut it to single digits. Yeah, that's what I meant. And the rebounding numbers, 50-34, 16-point edge for the Grizzlies. Points in the paint, 66-44 in favor of the Grizzlies. Fast break points, 23-6. Like, it's just a lot of those kind of effort-based stats, you know. I don't want to get into the whole effort game, but running up the floor, getting rebounds, getting loose balls. The Grizzlies clearly prioritized that tonight. And looking at their quotes after the game, you know, there was probably a point where they were very, very afraid they were about to do the same exact thing that they did 8 days ago. But they said, you know, this one meant something to them, and it felt good considering what happened in the same building 8 days ago.
Yeah, no, those fast break points were brutal. I think of all, I mean, obviously, those are really lopsided across the board. But when the Grizzlies really got on their runs, it seemed to be with them getting out in transition. And, like, it helped that the Thunder was missing a lot of shots. And obviously, I guess the fast break points tie a lot of those things together, right? They're rebounding, defensive rebounding well, getting back and getting out in transition.
Yeah.
And the Thunder was not. And it says here that that the Thunder only had like one fast break attempt in that first quarter. I would have qualified at least one more as a fast break. But even when the Thunder was getting those opportunities, they were not taking advantage of them. And were, you know, missing layups or missing shots again. And then the Grizzlies would counter and they'd grab that rebound and get on the fast break. And yeah, their transition offense was really solid. And the Thunder was putting themselves in situations where, A, transition defense was going to be hard because they're running up and down the floor the whole time and you know, getting in situations where it wasn't like, oh, they're coming, they're trying to get out from under the basket. It was like, oh, they've got a head start.
Yeah. And the Grizzlies very much play like, or at least tonight, they played like a young team. I mean, you've got Ja Morant, who, you know, didn't go crazy tonight. He only attempted 9 shots. I thought Terrence Ferguson and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander actually defended him pretty well, but you've got him, you've got Jaren Jackson Jr., who I, like, fell in love with tonight. I mean, he played well the other night, but he's second-year player. He's a center, but he's shooting 40% from three this year. Wasn't very good from three tonight, 2 of 9. But he's just I think he can be more of an imposing force down low, especially when a guy like Mike Muscala was guarding him. Sometimes he settles for that outside shot, but you've got him and then Brandon Clark, who comes off the bench, but he's kind of the third piece of that young core. He was 5 of 6. He's got the best field goal percentage of any rookie in the NBA. And those three guys, again, this is a very young team. They don't have a lot of quality veterans around them, but I really like what Memphis is doing with those three guys in particular.
Yeah, and they don't have a lot of those veterans around them by design.
Mm-hmm.
They traded them
like
this summer and last trade deadline. So, I mean, Joe, you wrote about this, how Sam Presti keeps saying they haven't hit the rebuild yet, and it's a progression, and it will go on. Whether you want to call this whole process the rebuild or whether you want to call the end where you're actually, he has a very literal definition of rebuild, where you're actually putting the final pieces together. But whatever you want to call it, it's going to take a long time and it's going to take a lot of steps. And there could be a future where we see a much younger Thunder team.
Yeah. And I struggled to like word this correctly in what I wrote after the game, but clearly the Thunder are a better team now. Like, this Thunder team could make the playoffs. The Grizzlies will not make the playoffs. But as far as a long-term rebuild, the Grizzlies are clearly ahead of the Thunder. I mean, they're probably at least 2 years ahead because they bottomed out last year and the year before that. I mean, they were, I think, 12th and 14th in the West. And then the 2 years before that, they were a 7 and an 8 seed. So, and this is all while the, you know, Thunder are putting together really quality teams. So the Grizzlies are ahead in that sense. They got Ja Morant at number 2. They got Jaren Jackson Jr. at 4. They got Brandon Clark at 21. So they've gotten all those draft picks where the Thunder, they haven't even started down that path yet.
Right, right. We don't know where the draft picks that they've acquired are going to end up.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that the Thunder has some control over are their own, which means that they'll have to get bad.
Yeah.
In order to get, you know, those top 5, top 10 picks that we're talking about.
Yeah, so it's interesting to contrast these teams and sort of where they are, because it's two small market teams who, you know, have a history together in the playoffs, kind of in the early 2010s. I don't even know what to say, as now we enter a new decade here pretty soon. but you know, I everyone remembers those Grizzlies teams with like Rudy Gay and Zach Randolph and Mike Conley and obviously Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Serge Ibaka, all these Thunder teams, and now you look and it's totally different. And two young teams kind of following similar paths, but one maybe slightly ahead of the other. And it's all, like you said, it's all about where the picks fall and hitting on those picks. But yeah, very interesting. And just a side note in all of this, Brandon Clark wore a Thunder hat on draft night because he was involved in that trade where Thunder picked him at 21, Grizzlies picked Darius Bazley at 23. They swapped, and then the Thunder got a second-round pick in 2024. So basically, Bazley and a second-round pick for Brandon Clark. And right now, Brandon Clark is a more polished player, and I can tell you the reason why. He's 23. Darius Bazley's 19.
Yeah.
So a lot of Thunder fans, I saw on Twitter tonight, were like, oh, you know, like maybe we should have got Brandon Clark. He looks pretty good. Darius Bazley's going to look pretty good when he's 23, I think.
Yeah, and he has more of the same. I mean, not that being 3 years older than Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is putting him totally out of the timeline, but Darius Bazley's like right timeline for this.
You want to align those ages to where they're all going to be around the same age when you want them to compete. So,
and you mentioned the small market part. That's why these rebuilds could look similar, mm-hmm. because they can't, I mean, I won't say can't, but it's very hard, very unlikely as a small market team to rebuild through free agency.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of marquee free agents going to Memphis or Oklahoma City. I mean, you've got to acquire through the trade, through trades or the draft. So,
mm-hmm. Or both. Speaking of some of those still veteran pieces that the Thunder still has, Danilo Gallinari was out tonight again. So it looks like he will be out for at least four straight games. So he was out right before that Christmas break, out tonight, and then he's not going with the Thunder on this next road trip. Billy Donovan told us today. So they're still just calling it left ankle soreness. Must be real sore.
Yeah, you know, they called it a sprain at first, and that's when he only missed one game at Utah. And what's that been, a couple weeks now, maybe?
Yeah, he came back from that, and then
played in several games, and now it's the soreness. It's the same ankle, but soreness has crept back, I suppose.
Yeah, or cropped up, or something.
Yeah, however you want to phrase it.
But yeah, I mean, I think this is longer term than we expected, because they're so adamant, and still are, that keeping him out is precautionary, which I guess if you have ankle problems that keep coming up, I guess that's... And, I mean, Billy Donovan did talk about the schedule. To his credit, their schedule is brutal for the next month. He said this in passing. I was like, that can't be true. And looked it up. It is true. They don't
Unfortunately, we counted, and he was right.
They don't have consecutive days off or consecutive days between games until February.
Yeah.
It's like for an entire month, they've got back-to-backs or just one day in between. So he kept alluding to like what's coming up and making sure that he's full go for that. It feels like there's some piece of this that we don't know. And obviously they're not going to give us his entire medical history and all of his charts and stuff. It feels like there
That'd
is
be nice.
A question. Although how awful would
give
that
us your charts.
Would that be if you just as a person had all of your medical information out there?
Yeah, I don't really want it, but it's funny to think about.
Wild. So, I mean, take that for what it's worth. It's going to be a while till the Thunder gets Danilo Gallinari back, even though it's just left ankle. Identified as left ankle soreness.
I feel like it could be multiple things. Like, one, it could be it's a worse injury than we think, and they obviously don't want to broadcast that because he's got immense trade value. And the other thing about that is, even if it's not serious, if there's one guy you want to be 100% healthy come February 6th or whenever before that, mm-hmm. and it's Danilo Gallinari because of that trade value. So his ankle is very important.
It is.
That left ankle is key.
It sure is. I mean, yeah. Whatever. He's out. Darius Baisley started in his place again, so he now has 3 starts on the season and his career. And this was probably the least impressive of them. He came out, guns a-blazing, made a 3 right off the bat, and then did not score again.
Yeah, not much else. In that 3, I just want to know how much that kind of like changed his game tonight, because he made the 3. And then
he kept taking
them. Yeah, he kept taking 3s. And, you know, he's an okay 3-point shooter, and I think that's something, a skill they want him to continue to improve on, and one way to do that is by continuing to take them. But it's not always in the best interest of trying to win a game, like when he's taking all of those.
Yeah, you don't want him to take 4 of his 5 shots from 3.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to take...
Especially with how athletic he is. Like, he can get to the basket and put it on the floor and create. Right.
I have less of an issue with the overall number than I do with the percentage. If you're going to take... Yeah. If you're going to take 4 threes, you better have the ball in your hand a lot. And... You know, I mean, it depends on what that looks like on a day, whether he's taking too many or not. But, like, if you're going to take 4 threes, I want to see at least as many 2s from him. He's too good. I mean, and I guess you got to credit the Grizzlies a little bit for that, because I'm sure they looked at the tape and were like, hey, he's good at driving to the basket. Let's take that away. But... Yeah, that's not an excuse for a guy who has such a diverse skill. I think the way that Billy Donovan put it is that he's good at a lot of things. He's just not great at any of those yet. Mm-hmm. And so you just want to see him continue to develop all of those. He shouldn't be relying on just one part of his game.
Yeah, you know, he's... Not to bring up his age again, but he's young, and it showed tonight. I mean, some of the decision-making is just not there yet.
And it wasn't just him.
Yeah, I mean, the Thunder did not shoot well from 3 overall, 29%. It was very bad to begin with. Then it got a little bit better, and then it ended poorly. Abdul Nader was 2 of 5. Chris Paul was 2 of 4. Everyone else was, you know, not very good.
No one on the Thunder made more than 2 3-point shots.
Not great. Shea was 1 of 6. Schroeder was 2 of 7. Dennis, again, surprise, surprise, led the team in field goal attempts with 21. Just not as efficient tonight. More attempts than points. So.
No. And usually you'd look and say, hey, they had 3 point guards scoring 20-plus. What a great night. It wasn't a efficient 20-plus. I mean, Chris Paul... 9 of 15. That's fine. But you don't... I mean... Shea, 8 of 19, that's okay. But, like, you can't have Dennis Schroeder going 8 of 21 and have him taking the majority of your shots and end up with a efficient night.
No. No, it was just bad shooting. It was a bad shooting night. You know, one. This game was just strange. I mean, I'm trying to write about the game. I focused more on the future because I was like, I don't want to write about this game. This game was terrible to watch. But one interesting thing, Kevin Hervey made his NBA debut tonight. He played 1 minute and 18 seconds and was 0 of 1. But props to Kevin Hervey.
Welcome to the NBA.
Welcome to the NBA.
Yeah, 2-way.
That's cool.
If you forgot, 2-way player. He... got that contract recently, so they waived Devin Hall to make room for him. He signs, and yeah, so now it's him and Lu Dort are the Thunder's two. And he's another guy who has had a longer road into the NBA. You know, he wasn't a 19-year-old who got drafted and is now, you know, three starts.
He's like Brandon Clark's age.
Wow.
He's so old.
So old. But he absolutely lit it up in summer league. And I mean, obviously you can't jump to major conclusions from that, but he definitely has some potential. He was shooting threes today at shoot around and was clanking some pretty bad, but also made some. You can't take much from shoot around. Also from shoot around, Hamidou Diallo obviously is not about to step on the court tomorrow, but wouldn't that be wild if he did?
They do play tomorrow. Wow. How about that?
He's not ready, but he was taking threes, which is good. I mean, he's in the middle of a kind of shooting program where they're ramping up the length that he's able to shoot and the number that he's able to shoot and really tracking that.
It's, you know, we've kind of forgotten a little bit about, not forgotten about him, but it hasn't been glaring. His absence hasn't been glaring because they've played so well without Hamidou Diallo, and that's not a knock on him. They've just been playing right. Well.
And Abdul Nader has really stepped it
up. Yeah, Nader has been playing great. And again, like his defensive issues haven't been near as big as I thought they were going to be. Hami is obviously on the other end of that, a very good defender, especially given his age. But they're just, you know, they've been playing short on wings, and it's kind of incredible what they've done. And Diallo will be back in that mix, and I think Nader has done enough to still earn a spot. I don't know if it's going to be as consistent as it is now, but until then, you're going to have, you know, I mean, Kevin Hervey isn't sliding into one of those spots, but while Gallinari is hurt, he's probably going to be active. Deontay Burton's still getting more minutes as a result of Diallo being out. So you're seeing a little more movement deeper down the roster because of injuries or, you know, other stuff that has come up.
Speaking of Abdul Nader, he had probably the best shot of the night.
Yeah.
Where there was this...
Where Steven Adams wanted 1.7 left on the shot clock.
It took way too long to figure this out. But essentially, the ball was bouncing around and the shot clock restarted. But but the officials blew the whistle and said it shouldn't have because A, the ball didn't touch the rim, and B, the Thunder didn't lose possession, which it was really the bigger issue at hand, the possession part. So because of that, the shot clock should have kept running, and they're trying to figure out what to set the shot clock back at. And there was a lot of talk for a long time, and everyone's standing around, and then Steven Adams comes over, and he's like, 1.7! they did not give them 1.7, but they gave them a second. And Chris Paul inbounded the ball to Abdul Nader, who immediately turned and shot and made a three.
There were some very good buzzer tonight.
Schroeder made one.
He had two at the end of the second
and
at the end of the third. Yeah.
And then, does Chris Paul have one?
Chris Paul did have one. Yeah, that was another shot clock situation, I think. And the Nader's was, so. I guess the Thunder
That's
just
the
needed
positive.
To be under a ton of pressure.
And 20 points wasn't enough.
That's very strange. They shot a tremendous percentage while the shot clock or quarter buzzer beaters were going off, but very poorly.
Otherwise. Just imagine if they had taken all their shots early in the shot clock, which generally teams have a better percentage at.
Just wait. Just hold it. They could have won like a 65-62 game today. Just slow things down on every possession.
Real grit and grind.
Grit and grind. Hey, there we go. Bringing it back to Memphis.
Oh, so, yeah, that happened. But the best quote of the night was, I mean, the Thunder turns around and plays tomorrow at Charlotte. And so Stephen Adams was asked about that and asked how to move on from it. And he said, that's just like an ex-girlfriend. You gotta get over it and don't look back.
That's right. I love that last part. Don't look back.
Don't look back.
Yeah,
but don't look back is a direct quote. The rest I paraphrase.
Yeah, like an ex-girlfriend, mate. Got to get past it, don't you? Don't look back. And that is what we're all going to do.
Hashtag don't look back. So, looking forward, I mean, Charlotte's a beatable team.
Very much so. At Toronto's top, if they can split on this road trip, I think... Yeah. They will be happy.
If traditionally, with an entirely different team last year, played well at Toronto, but, you know, different team. Although this team seems to have some playing down to competition issues, so yeah. Watch them do it the opposite.
Yeah, they'll probably beat
they'll win in Toronto and lose at Charlotte.
That's probably the most likely. Not even kidding.
So that'll be fun. I'll be there.
It will be fun.
It will be fun. I always love going to Canada. Make sure I bring that passport.
Bring your passport.
I'm really
worried. I heard it's important.
That I'm going to forget since I haven't packed yet. So I'm going to go do that.
The land of the defending champions.
Ooh.
Toronto.
The North. Thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. Like it, love it, subscribe, share it with your friends, your enemies, your neighbors, your pets, your family, your acquaintances, and we will see you tomorrow after Thunder at Charlotte.